bring Joe in, because I would have, listen, what do I know? And I'm not going to tell you I'm the final authority here. I would have thought Derek Byers and Shane Foster would have both been in the NBA.
Out of the three players we're discussing, I would have thought Derek Byers would have the best chance.
I would have thought all those guys would have been in some way, shape, or form on an NBA roster, and that just it hasn't worked out that way.
No, you're right. So many times it's a fit, though. You know, Mark, you get into the right system and you have the right quality, whatever it is they're looking for. I really thought, though, Derek had the body, had the game, you know, had everything that was going to be necessary to play at that level. You know, to be a 6'6", 6'7", you know, fast, good ball handler, shoot with range, all those things. I certainly thought he was a guy that had a great shot to make it in the league.
And which shows you how competitive is Joe. And when you don't make that roster the first year and you bounce around, you know, you've got to get a little bit better. And it is razor thin. I mean, look at Matt Freege.
Yep.
Matt Freege, you know, by a paper thin margin, has not been in the NBA. He's made it, you know, he's made it all the way to opening day, and then he gets cut. It's crazy just how you've got that mushy middle of guys, you know, who are on the back ends of rosters who are really good players, but for whatever reason, you know, just can't stay there.
Yeah, but when you think about it, and I guess maybe we don't think in these terms often enough, but think about how few places there are. You know, when you get it's not like, you know, baseball with 25, you know, 30-man rosters and football with 54-man rosters. You know, the NBA's got, you know, 12 or 13 guys per team. So you're looking at, what, 350 guys that get a chance to play in the NBA every year. There's just not that many jobs.
And Frank's a real connoisseur of the NBA. I mean, he loves, you know, he goes to, you know, some games and watches. And I think, you know, he has always come back. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you just rave at how good those guys really are.
It's ridiculous. I mean, that just goes to show you these guys, if you don't have the goods, you're not going to last up there. These guys are men. And, you know, it's just, if you're just not an absolute phenom.
The athleticism of it is
crazy.
What gets me to watch
it's
those
unbelievable.
Guys.
Which is what's even more amazing with these high school seniors that get drafted to the NBA. I mean, that's incredible. How
like LeBron James, who, you know, or can go in and step in from a high school setting to go in and be pretty dominant.
Oh, yeah.
That's the ultimate, the supreme of beings as far as basketball players go.
Yep.
All right, Joe, well, we talked about Vanderbilt's trip over to Middle Tennessee on yesterday's program, and you said the Blue Raiders were an outstanding baseball team, and they were as advertised yesterday against the Commodores.
Sure were. 8-0 win, and, you know, a shutout held Vanderbilt to 6 hits. I think the Bryce Brents went the distance for them pitching-wise. Chad Edwards did. Bryce Brents had 2 home runs in the game, and it's kind of been this way all year long with Vanderbilt. It's kind of been feast or famine in terms of offense. They either, you know, get a bunch of hits and score runs in bunches, or they you know, struggle to get any runs across at all. And maybe that's the nature of having so many new faces or whatever. But I know it was a disappointment to go over there and sort of get handled that way. It's not the best way to be heading on the road to a place where it's really going to be tough now in Arkansas, because not only are you going to deal with an outstanding team, but they're for the first time, a lot of these guys are going to deal with a huge crowd. I mean, they're going to have anywhere between 10 and 13,000 people at these games. And so that certainly adds a new element for a lot of these guys.
And, Joe, people should know that and it's not like Tim Corbin doesn't want to win during the week, but he handles his staff a little bit different during the week than he does on the weekend with the conference games.
Oh, absolutely.
It's more of developmental thing.
Yeah, it is. And most folks handle it that way. You know, most schools that are especially in conference play handle it that way. This one was a little bit different in that Nick Christiani did start. I believe he pitched into the 6th inning. But didn't get any run support, obviously. So, again, that opens up the idea for what's going to happen on Sunday in this weekend series. Is it going to be Sonny Gray to start? Will it be Christiani? Will it be Drew Hayes? Will it be, you know, we don't know. But it's kind of funny going around the league and seeing how many people in conference play, when you see everybody is supposed to give you their pitchers for the weekend before the weekend begins, which is kind of silly. But they do, and almost every place you go, Sunday's TBA. You know, we don't know who's pitching Sunday yet. We'll get there when we get there, you know. So that's kind of the boat Vanderbilt's in right now.
Hey, Joe, thanks as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, guys.